Hey guys, and we're back. Today with me, I have Stephen Pratley. He is an expert in webinars for online courses and a couple other things. But I think in this episode, that's what we're going to focus on, is the top of the funnel, webinars, maybe lead magnets, offers, emails that surround it, that type of stuff. What's up, Stephen?
Hey, Tom. How are you? Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, man. Had some Skype issues, but now it seems seems it's all good. I really need to switch to Zoom soon. Like I've been just thinking about it. Like I need to do it soon.
Yeah, I'm sure half the problem is my end, but we got there.
No, it's been often. Like I've been complaining about this for weeks now. You know, it's super strange.
There's nothing like technology to really screw things up, though, is there?
Yeah, nothing like Microsoft buying something and screw things up, you know?
Absolutely.
Can you imagine if Microsoft just bought all the webinar software, like how much of a mess that would be?
Oh, I think we'd definitely be looking at trying to run some other kind of conversion mechanisms for people if they got their hands on it. So I'm just staring here at my vast array of Macintosh gear and iPhones and stuff and thinking, God, I haven't touched any of that stuff in ages. So.
Oh, wow. Yeah. But before the show, you mentioned something interesting. You know, you said webinars work well for products $500 and up.
And yeah, I think, you know, maybe even a level slightly lower than that. But yeah. But generally, if you've got a product of that size, you've got to focus somebody's attention on it and, you know, really get them to kind of listen to some of the benefits of it. And it tends to work at that level. And the economics struggle a bit on cheaper courses just because it's expensive to get leads. There's a fairly high dropout rate through the funnel. So you're only getting the most committed people through there. And it's tough to make it work lower unless you can get super cheap leads or, you know, vast amounts of organic stuff, I think. So.
Yeah, that's the one thing I've been talking about too a lot is, you know, Facebook, YouTube, getting a lot more expensive than before, especially YouTube. You know, people are still saying it's such a gold mine, and I don't really think so. You know, a couple of years ago, like I would get clicks for 10, 20 cents. Now it's like $1.50 for some niches or $2.
Yeah, I think there's been, I've seen similar things. I mean, it's the same across all the platforms, and, you know, we're recording this kind of start mid-December, and you know, Black Friday and all the Christmas shopping, all the holiday shopping, that really puts a lot of pressure on pricing and on availability. I think we'll probably see things drop a little bit come January, but you know, there's a constant upward trend on pricing. It's because it's so easy for people to get into this, you know. I mean, I got into, you know, doing Facebook ads on, you know, $5 a day budgets when it was super cheap. But it's still possible for somebody to get into the game on that kind of level, $5-$10 a day. I mean, you know, you could give up your coffee in the morning and that's half the budget for getting started on Facebook. And then kind of words got around on YouTube. People have got the barrier to entry has gone way down on producing video. More people are able to move into that space, whereas it was much more kind of professional, you know, bigger brands with the budgets for video production, that's got a lot easier to do, you know, to do ads on video. And I think that's pushing it up. And, you know, I'm kind of, every time I see people saying, you know, YouTube's still kind of underpriced, I'm like, shh, you know, keep our secret or everyone's going to be in there. And that's what's happening now, I think. And it'll happen across every platform, you know. I mean, I remember when you could get clicks on Google for like 1 cent each on AdWords, and those times are long ago. And, you know, I think maybe something else always comes along. You know, one of the smaller platforms, people will gravitate towards that. But yeah, it's getting harder, and it just puts pressure on everybody to make sure that they're working on, you know, getting every last drop out of that spend that they can, making sure they're getting as many of those clicks into leads, getting those leads to see their offer and making sure that offer is, you know, strong enough to convert.
Yeah, that's something interesting that I see on your website. You know, you seem to work with businesses who sell premium education. And you know, what I mean by that, I'm seeing places like Kingston Business School and University and a Unifair. So it's like, these are like, you know, bigger places. It's not really the online marketing space per se. You're in a bit of a different space.
Yeah, I do a little bit of both. So because to be honest with you, the academic institutions, I do some work on them that's more kind of lead generation. So, you know, if you're going to buy into an MBA course that's going to cost you, you know, five figures, you're going to be talking to some people, maybe having some kind of show rounds at the university. So it's more kind of lead generation type stuff for them. But I really like working with the smaller providers as well, because, you know, you can really see the effect that we're having from end to end. And to be honest with you, you know, working with academic institutions, they're great. They're solid clients, but they don't move very fast. So the smaller guys, you know, people like the Comedy Course, the Relationships Course, the Rapid Learning Course, those ones that are on there, you know, those people, they allow you to kind of move fast and experiment. And that's where you really kind of, you know, keep your skills sharpened by working with those guys, I think, where things are a lot more fluid. You can test things a lot more and things move faster. And I'm always really impressed at how smaller businesses, you know, they don't have cash to throw at huge amounts of advertising. So they have to use their ingenuity a little bit and create better quality content. They have to create content and a brand that stands out more. You know, they're not resting on, you know, a big brand that's been developed over, you know, tens or even sometimes hundreds of years. You know, they have to build that really quickly, and they have to build that trust. And I find that, you know, working with those guys quite exciting. You know, and also the working with pure online courses, they're so scalable. I mean, if I doubled the number of people applying for like an MBA course at one of those universities, they wouldn't have the places for them. But you can, you know, I've taken people selling online courses, something like the Become a Super Learner course that's run by Jonathan Levy. And we were doing, you know, 6,000-8,000 a month when we first started working on that. A couple of years later, we're doing 160,000 a month. And you just can't create those kind of scales in a, you know, that kind of scale at that speed in most businesses without breaking it if it's got any kind of human component to it at all. So you can only really do that stuff with digital products. Otherwise, it just causes massive, massive problems for people. So, you know, I like keeping clients at kind of both ends of the spectrum there, where we've got some, you know, some kind of big long-term clients who are doing stable stuff and just tweaking it. And then also people who are much more adventurous and able to, you know, to test stuff and to try out new techniques and to push the boundaries a little bit. Because I think that's really where you pick up the very kind of, you know, sharp skills that will help keep ahead of those, you know, those rising ad costs that you just talked about and all the other challenges that face the market.
What is your system for creating the offers or figuring out how to draw people in? Because it's very different for a university and a small course, you know, something like the Super Learner. It's a very different approach to building that.
Yeah, so I kind of came across this. I think almost working in the middle ground of those businesses, there are some training businesses who have been good clients of mine in the past who are more traditional, what I call kind of stand and deliver training businesses, where they'll run workshops inside a company, or they'll, you know, they'll hire a training room for a day, get 30, 40 people in and teach in a group setting. And, you know, and I've taught on courses like that as well. I've done little bits of teaching at Kingston, and I've done stuff with the Institute of Direct Marketing over here in London, which is a, you know, fairly well-recognized organization. And when those kind of businesses try and take what they're doing in the classroom and move it into an online course, what they've discovered is that, you know, the market for those is, it sometimes it's quite different people, and they're buying for different reasons. So if you think about somebody who works in a large business and how they buy training, you know, they have their annual or quarterly review with their boss, and the boss says, you know, you need to get a bit better at whatever it might be, you know, say leadership skills, for example. And they, you know, they go through the catalog of courses with their approved suppliers, and they find one and they send them off, you know, they book it in, they get the budget from HR, they book it in, 3 months later, they go off and spend 2 or 3 days in a workshop somewhere, tick that off, get their certificate, come back again. That's very different from somebody who's buying an online course, who typically they have a problem that they're facing like right here and now. So it might be, you know, they have an interview coming up. I mean, we know that, say, Jonathan's course is a rapid learning course. It's all about speed reading, memory, and kind of memory management. We sell lots of that to postgraduate students, and there's a real pressure on that when people start the course and they're given what looks like an overwhelming amount of material that they've got to read. We get a big spike in sales then. And we also get a big spike as exam time starts to approach and people are trying to just cram stuff in. So they have an immediate problem that's facing them. And usually it's the individual that's buying it off their own back. And they're making, you know, most of the decision. So for a more expensive course, maybe somebody's got to go and talk to their wife or husband and say, look, I'm about to go spend $1,000, $2,000 to try and solve this problem. But generally speaking, online courses, they're much more direct. They're much more, you know, somewhat more tactical. They have people buying them who have a kind of higher level and much more immediate form of pain. And, you know, you need to kind of understand that and construct the offer that will appeal to somebody who's in that mindset rather than, you know, a university course you go on because you want to develop skills that will be useful to you at some point in the future when you, you know, change jobs or enter the workspace. So it's a different kind of mentality about the kind of content that people will buy and the kind of pain that they're trying to solve, and particularly the, you know, the period that they're trying to solve that in. People online generally are trying to solve much more immediate problems.
Can you give some examples of the things that you came up with to attract people to get those immediate problems solved?
Yeah, so we've done, there's a course that we're running. There's a productivity business called Win the Day Back that we've started on, which we actually experimented with a few different things. And the first thing that we put up was like a day planner, just a single page PDF day planner. So there's lots of people selling these things, you know, like even Seth Godin's got one out at the moment. And we kind of went, let's just take the meat of this thing and just rip it out and give it away. So let's just take like a little plan thing. So we took that, offer that to people. Then we have a little kind of profiling tool that helps them find out where their weak points are. And then based on those weak points, they get led into other offers. So that's one thing where we knew that people had a pain point of, you know, they're getting to the end of their day and their to-do list is longer than when they started. I mean, I'm sure that anybody that, you know, runs their own business knows that. Anybody who's got a boss who is at all demanding understands that kind of pain. So that kind of idea about just getting some structure back into your day was all about what the whole proposition of the site was about. And we kind of embodied it in that one little lead magnet offer. So that's something we can just give something away that says, look, we're going to try and help you solve this pain. It's one little tool that will help you with one step along the way. And then you can have some conversations with them about, you know, okay, where do we really need to actually start working with you? What's your problem? Is your problem in goal setting, or is your problem in the habits of sticking to things? Or is it that you're becoming overwhelmed because you're not good at saying no, or you're not good at prioritizing? And you have to kind of work out what the immediate thing is that they want and get that to them. And then you can start, then once you've solved that one little problem and developed a bit of trust, then you can start having a conversation with them about, you know, all the other problems that they might have that might be deeper down than that. You know, it's a bit like in the weight loss space, you know, gyms will always, you know, January, they'll be full of all these kind of drop a dress size in 4 weeks or whatever those things might be. And most fitness professionals hate those things, but they know that if they don't hook people in on that first thing that they want, and that's their immediate pain pressure, they won't get to talk to them about the other stuff about, you know, that their immune system will be better, that they'll have more energy, that they'll have, you know, all the other benefits of a decent, you know, weight loss and nutrition program. You got to offer up front what people want to buy, which is that to solve that immediate pain point of, oh my God, I've got a Christmas party coming up and I feel fat. And then you can start talking to them about things they actually need, which is, you know, longer term changes to their diet and their exercise routines and other things around that.
So typically after you hook them in, when you said you will then talk about the other small problems, would that be the webinar? Is that your usually go-to tool?
Yeah, so usually the flow goes something like, we've solved this little problem. here are some other things, you know, here is a more complete process for you giving you a deeper and more longer lasting result. We're going to talk about this in, you know, however you describe it, in a webinar or some free online training, or, you know, however it's being presented. And then you move into the webinar, and the webinar talks about a more complete solution, which is the backbone of your, you know, your kind of premium type course. So the webinars, the way I coach people through webinars is, if you're selling any kind of educational process or any kind of transformation process, what you're doing is taking people through a number of steps usually. So what we teach in the webinars is, you know, what are those steps? What are the kind of big blocks that people need to put in place? And we'll give a bit of a taster of what's in each of those boxes. But you're obviously not giving the whole thing away just because, you know, time constraints. Most webinars, maybe an hour or so in the, you know, 40 minutes to an hour or so of actual content. You're going to have a lot more content than that in a premium level course. So, you know, you can't give the whole thing away, but you'll at least describe why those blocks exist, how those will help people overcome problems that they've had in the past, you know, those kind of things. So, for example, Jonathan's webinar, people will look at, you know, they'll start off with speed reading, but then they go, I'm reading faster, but I'm not remembering as much of it. So then it's like, okay, well, we're going to teach you the memory stuff. So you go through the memory stuff, you remember what it's like, oh my God, I've got to remember all this stuff. You know, I'm getting mixed up between different topics. Okay, now what we teach you is their unique area, which is this kind of memory management thing where you link different memories together so that they actually reinforce each other. And so you go through each of those steps, and each step is saying, okay, we're going to teach you how to do this. This creates another problem. Then we'll solve that problem. That creates a higher level problem. We solve that problem. And there's a set of steps that are in a distinct order that they taught them through. So some of these things they weren't even heard of before. The memory management part is not many people talk about that. Lots of people talk about speed reading. People talk about memory techniques like memory palaces a little bit if you studied the era at all. But the whole memory management part is relatively new. So they can see that the course is unique. You can see it has some unique elements to it. They can see it's thought out and has a structure. And each block of the course is overcoming a problem that they will have had, you know, on previous attempts at that topic.
That's interesting. And what sort of a call to action do you have at the end?
Well, so it's typically, you know, you show them what the process is. And then the call to action essentially says, look, here's the process. There's more detail inside that. You're going to need some help getting to the detail of this stuff, because I'm usually talking about courses that have an element of support, even if it's just something as simple as a Facebook group. You could now go away, take these things and hunt around YouTube and the rest of the internet to try and find, you know, to try and piece together a solution. But you've probably been doing that for 6 months, a year or more anyway, which is usually the case. If somebody is about to drop $500 on a course, this is not their first attempt. They'll have bought books, they'll have watched YouTube videos. So they know that that's not working for them. And then you start to present the course and present the value of it. And building up that, you just start to build up the value of the offer and presenting the offer as a kind of packaged and structured way of getting to their end goal versus whatever the cost might be of trying to do it on their own in time, effort, and money, and, you know, missed opportunities, them still being in this, you know, what are the consequences of somebody being in the same place like a year down the line by not having made action. And it's just starting to, but at that point, you know, you've, during the course of the webinar, you've got them to really believe that they can make a change. You've got them to believe that what you're offering is a, you know, is a credible solution to their problem. So you've kind of covered all those emotional parts that cover, and then the call to action starts to become more kind of logical about, you know, it is worth the money. It will be better than the opportunity cost. You know, you'll look back at this in 6 months and it'll be, the cost will be a fraction of the benefits you'll have had. you can get through this. You know, it's not an overwhelming amount of work. People like you have gone through this course. You know, this is where testimonials and things come in, that people like you or even less able than you have gone through this in the past, and here's the results they've got. So it's really kind of layering up those arguments as you get to the call to action. And then the rest of it really, after you've done that, most of it comes down to Q&A, which is really just objection handling.
So most of these are live courses, live webinars, not evergreen.
We've done both. Typically what we'll do is run some live webinars to the client's existing email list. So the first couple of times we put it together, we'll take a small section of the list, run it to them, because if you've not done a webinar before, it takes a little while just to get your confidence up, to not be thrown by some of the questions that come in, and just to get it feeling smooth and confident. So we'll run it a couple of times, and then you can literally take one of those webinars and then drop that into an evergreen webinar funnel. With evergreen stuff, there's a kind of seesaw of attendance and conversion rate. So if you're running an evergreen webinar, and those webinars run, you know, every day, or, you know, you've even seen them running on kind of like 15-minute loops. If it runs very soon, you'll get a much higher attendance rate. But because the interaction isn't quite the same as on a live webinar, the conversion rates aren't quite so high. But normally they'll at least balance out. And you can, you know, it gives you the option that you can do things like, you know, I really try and work with people who have got offerings that are global. So what I mean by that is I don't work with people in industries like finance, where, you know, the regulations of doing a financial product in the UK are very different from doing them in the US. So it restricts the market I'm in. Whereas something like speed reading, you know, that course can be literally sold to anybody who speaks English. Like anybody who can understand the course can buy it and benefit from it. So once you're running evergreen webinars, all of a sudden problems like time differences disappear, and you can start selling that just literally round the clock. So it gives you a much broader market. Your attendance numbers go way up. The percentage conversions can come down, but all of the other factors mean that you'll end up with a much, much bigger stream of traffic coming into the webinar in the first place. And, you know, quite often we'll do occasional live special offer ones and things like that as well. Once clients see the, you know, the power of them and just how, you know, a good webinar can be pulled in to save a bad quarter, and they start really focusing on just getting good at them and running them whenever they have a new product launch, or if there's a particular seasonal thing. There are quite a lot of people doing Black Friday deal things. Those kind of timings. But I'm a big fan of evergreen stuff, just because it, you know, I said earlier that when people are buying online courses, they have a problem they want to solve quickly. If they've even got to wait, you know, they're thinking about this thing on a Monday morning, if they've got to wait even till that Friday for the webinar to happen, they can lose focus on that problem. Or if they're really hunting around, just another solution can get to them quicker than you can. So I think if somebody's got a problem, it's, you know, it's your responsibility to make sure that that person can find your solution and understand why that's the right one for them as quickly as possible.
Sounds good. I'm in a bit of a time crunch. So on that note, Stephen, thank you for coming on. And where can people find you?
Best place to hunt this stuff down is at our agency site at theconversion.co. And first thing on there, I'd encourage people to look at, there's a little download, if you just scroll down the homepage, which is actually about how do you create an offer that's going to be enticing. Because until you've got those things in place, it doesn't matter whether you're using, you know, sales letters or video sales letters or webinars or chatbots or whatever else it might be. Until you've got an offer right that's appealing to people and has the right, you know, has the right ingredients in it, you're really going to struggle. So that's the first thing that we work on with any clients. So we've given away some of the, you know, some of the hints and tips of how to create a really solid offer before we start looking at the funnel, you know, the funnel patterns and what kind of conversion mechanism we're going to use. And we've given that away on the homepage of our site to help out as many people as possible. So that would be the first place I'd go look.
Awesome. Well, thank you again, and we'll talk soon.
Hey, Tom, thanks so much for having me on. I look forward to catching up soon, man.
Before you go, let me know if you enjoyed this interview. Leave a review, subscribe, join the Smart Brand Marketing Facebook page, whatever is easiest. Also, if you need my help marketing your online course, or know that your business could use some SEO, come to smartbrandmarketing.com, check out the case studies, and reach out to me. Once again, smartbrandmarketing.com. Until next time.